I must confess to you that I always find this Palm Sunday liturgy jarring. We gather outside on the lawn. We shout, Hosanna. We wave palm branches. We process. We have this grand parade. We're praising God for the one who has come in the name of the Lord. And then we come inside, and immediately everything changes. The liturgy focuses on the passion of Jesus. And we find ourselves shouting, crucify him, crucify him. How easy it would be for me to stay in that moment of the hosannas, of the waving of palm branches, and then slip next Sunday into the joy of resurrection. How easy that would be. How much I prefer praising God, shouts of joy, and then proclaiming the joy and hope of the resurrection of Jesus. But it doesn't work that way. There is no Easter without death, without betrayal and denial, torture and suffering, without burial in the tomb. We can't just pass from those hosannas to the glory of resurrection. We have to go through this week. And so it is that on this Palm Sunday, we enter into that most sacred and solemn, that most important week of the year. It is the center of our liturgical lives, and in fact, it is the center of our very lives. It is nothing less than the journey from death to life. It is nothing less than a glimpse and anticipation of the promise of eternal life made to us in baptism. Now, at its heart, this week focuses on those final days in the life of Jesus, beginning with today, his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. It continues on Thursday with that last night he celebrated with his disciples, where he washed their feet and instituted the Eucharist, his body and blood made known in bread and wine. It takes us to Friday, where we journey to the cross, where Jesus suffers and dies. And to Saturday, where we gather in silence, Jesus is dead and buried in the tomb. And then to Easter Day, when God raises Jesus from the dead, triumphing over sin and even death itself. Now, I think there can be a temptation in this week to focus most strongly on the past, to focus on those last days of Jesus' life, maybe even a danger in being nostalgic. But we're called, I think, not to look backward, but to look to the present. For we live in this moment. We walk this week now. We are gathered as the church in this place at this time. There's a liturgical concept known as anamnesis, a Greek word, a very fancy Greek word, which talks about past and present becoming united, of the recalling of the past into the present. It's more than nostalgia and looking back. It's a sense in which, in God's economy, past and present are united. When we gather at this altar, we are united with those who have gone before, we the living, with those who are dead. We get a glimpse into the very kingdom of God. And so we walk this week in company with those who have gone before us in ages past, past and present united. And we do remember and look back to and recall into our present the journey Jesus made this week. But we also are making a journey. On Facebook this week, Sojourners shared a blog post by a Brooklyn writer and reporter. His name is Jeff Chu, and he's been writing posts which are entitled Lessons from the Pilgrimage. He is making a pilgrimage from Rome to the Holy Land. And in the most recent post, he said this, As I've noted throughout this series of dispatches, we don't embark on the pilgrim's trail with new hearts, minds, and bodies. We take the scarred and wounded vessels we already have. Then he goes on to talk about his experience of this pilgrimage and says something that may be surprising. He says he doesn't find his faith strengthened by this pilgrimage, but that he does learn from it. He says this: "To be honest, I don't know that this pilgrimage strengthened my already shaky faith. It did strengthen, though, my sense that I need faith. It did reinforce my conviction that this ugly, scarred, and broken world needs the beauty, healing, and redemption that God promises." That's an important assertion, that the world needs the redemption of God. And so it is, as I was reading that, it led me to think that pilgrimage may be a helpful metaphor for this week. For on pilgrimage, as he says, we set out as we are, where we find ourselves, exactly who we are in this moment. But we also set out in hope, and with that expectation that the journey itself will bring about change, will bring about transformation, that we will walk with Jesus this week and travel ourselves. And we start now, wherever we are, in terms of where we are emotionally, physically, spiritually. But then we walk. We go on pilgrimage. And I feel certain that a week from now, we will be changed by this experience. And so I invite you to walk the way of this week, to set out following as Jesus does on our own pilgrimage, following the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one whom the very stones would cry out in praise of if we were silent, the one who is God, yet a servant, the one who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, who was obedient even to death on the cross, and the one who was raised from the dead and given the name above every name. And on this pilgrimage, we walk with those disciples who have gone before us, those who walked this week with Jesus, those who loved Jesus yet often did not understand him, those who were very human, who denied him, who fled from him in his most difficult hour, who doubted the news the women bring that first Easter morning, and who hide in a locked room for fear they will be killed too. But those same who were transformed by the experience and who, after the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, take the good news of the death and resurrection to the ends of the earth, those who, filled with the Holy Spirit, even give their lives as a witness to this good news of Christ. And so I invite you, and hope and pray that you will walk this way, make this pilgrimage this week, beginning where we are, undertaking the effort, though it may be demanding, but knowing that we will be changed, we will be transformed, we will find ourselves in a different place from where we start this day. For we walk with Jesus to his death and resurrection, where we will die ourselves, die to ourself, to our sinfulness, and rise with him, where we will die to our human impulses of greed and hatred, of that human desire to act first for ourselves, and we will be transformed by the love of Jesus into his holy people, and we will even be given a glimpse of that abundant life that Jesus desires for us. As I was reflecting yesterday on Palm Sunday and on these readings, as I said to you before, hymns sometimes pop into my head. And I was reminded of a Christmas hymn, actually. It's in our hymnal. The text was written by the poet Richard Wilbur. And he brings together Christmas and Palm Sunday, Passion and Resurrection, and even echoes our reading from Luke this morning. It's called "The Stable Lamp is Lighted." A stable lamp is lighted whose glow shall wake the sky. The stars shall bend their voices, and every stone shall cry. And every stone shall cry, and straw like gold shall shine. A barn shall harbor heaven, a stall become a shrine. This child through David's city shall ride in triumph by. The palm shall strew its branches, and every stone shall cry. And every stone shall cry, though heavy, dull, and dumb, and lie within the roadway to pave his kingdom come. Yet he shall be forsaken and yielded up to die. The sky shall groan and darken, and every stone shall cry. And every stone shall cry for gifts of love abused, God's blood upon the spearhead, God's love refused again. But now is at the ending, the low is lifted high. The stars shall bend their voices, and every stone shall cry. And every stone shall cry in praises of the child by whose descent among us the worlds are reconciled. Amen.